One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
While it serves as a hotspot for summer fun, Lake Lanier has earned its deadly reputation as a haunted or even cursed place in northern Georgia, claiming hundreds of lives since its opening. As the lake attracts more and more visitors each year, will the deaths surrounding it ever cease? This week's episode is Lake Lanier, Part 2.
In the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Hood.
I'm gonna kill you. Thanks to everybody's feedback from the last episode.
What did we hear?
Oh, man. Well, I heard, I've been in Georgia for 6 years now, and I've only ever heard bad things about Lake Lanier. No thanks from Michelle.
Well, that's a long time. I feel like that's a pretty big sample size.
Someone said, Jacqueline said, having lived in the area from age 9+, swimming in it is fine if you don't mind coming across dead bodies or getting a flesh-eating bacteria.
Mm, I mind both of those things, so I'm not going to do it.
I was like, no, thank you. But yeah, several people say I'm a native. I stay far away. There are plenty of other fun lakes in Georgia that do not come with the sad history and scary lore, said
Howdy
Ken.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you want to go boating and swimming in a lake? Cool. Yeah. But you could find one that there's not like a high percentage of deaths that have occurred there.
Exactly. Several people had said, I went swimming there as a kid and I got really sick. So we didn't even cover the fact that you might live and then just wish that you were like, please, Lord, take me. I can't stop throwing up. But
bacteria and whatever from bodies and whatnot are, you know, I mean, if you get enough of them in there, it's just like a big little pot, little stew pot.
We're a little hot pot together. There's also just as many TikToks of people just like having summer fun, boating, being like the face when someone tells me it's a cursed lake, like tempting fate almost. And I was like, I'm not out here trying to final destination nothing. So
no, I don't like to tempt stuff. Regardless of if I believe in it or not, it's like, why? Because you post that and immediately fall overboard and drown. And then that's the last post you made.
Even if you don't, you post that and that's a place where a lot of horrible things have happened. Yeah. And you're like, who cares? It's like, well, at least care a little.
Yeah.
Even if you still go.
Be respectful at the very least.
Right.
Well, if you've been there and had a good experience, I guess that's what we have yet to hear.
Exactly. I want to hear nothing happened. No, I'm sure that, I mean, that's millions of things a year.
Sure.
But it just is, you don't want to be one of the not millions, the other ones.
Anything that has a complete city underground with all sorts of hazards, especially when you know the history of how it came to be, it seems to put a damper on summer fun for me.
You know, just something to think about while you're in there. And also just the visibility. We'll get to it, some of the footage we've seen, but I'm good for them. Am I?
No, if I watch any more TikToks of what's underneath there, I am going to just have a panic attack because I'm like, no wonder people drown. There's like the last trees that so many branches just tangled and shit. And you get stuck in that. And you can't even see your hand in front of your face.
No, no. Mm-mm. I saw a fisherman, his boat was like pulled up next to a tree, and he's like, who said fish don't grow on trees? And he was like fishing right from where it literally is like his boat, and then a big ass tree is just coming up out of the water next to it. Because they said there's up to like 60-foot trees down there that still growing.
Still grow. That's a very good point. They got all sorts of water, and then when it recedes, even the sunlight. Like- so they're just getting bigger down there.
They'll never stop.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get into it. As the death toll at Lake Lanier continued to climb into the late 1990s and early 2000s, public safety concerns reached a tipping point. The pattern of drownings, boating accidents, and unexplained disappearances increasingly alarmed both residents and tourists. Most tragically, many of the victims were young, children, teens, and college-aged adults, out for what was supposed to be a fun day on the lake. In response, grieving parents began demanding changes. Their calls weren't just emotional. They were urgent, focused on concrete safety failures, insignificant signage, no lifeguards, minimal lighting on docks, and a persistent lack of life jacket enforcement. Despite data showing that no one had drowned at the lake while wearing a life jacket, usage rates remained dangerously low.
I believe to this day, you have to have them on the boat, and there's different rules, but it's very simple that if you have on a life jacket, you don't drown. And if you don't have on a life jacket, your chances go way up.
It seems like a very easy thing that anyone can do to increase your chances of having a safe time on any lake, but specifically this one.
It's a helmet situation. We talked about it. Like, I don't know if you think it's dorky to wear it or whatever.
Or
it's
uncomfortable or something.
I don't care what anybody, I'm just riding through my neighborhood with my big ass helmet on like, hello, everyone. Hello. I'm like, they're like, there's a lady in the big blue helmet. Yes, there she is. Because I ain't going without it. I'm not raw
dogging
it. And
we keep seeing her because she's safe.
Yes, exactly. I'll be back tomorrow because I'm not going to smash my grape.
Even with patrols and warning systems, many first responders acknowledged the difficulty of rescue and recovery missions at Lake Lanier. Kimberly Ledzinger, spokesperson for Hall County Fire Rescue, explained.
Sadly, there are multiple factors that can cause drowning in Lake Lanier. There's no way of truly knowing from our point of view as first responders what causes them.
Once again, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers responded to mounting pressure by enhancing shoreline signage, increasing boater education programs, and installing additional alert buoys. However, many families still felt these steps were too little, too late.
Well, especially if everybody's getting drunk out there, which I'm sure is what's happening too.
That's the other thing with all of these accidents and lakes and boating in general. Mm-hmm. They seem to go hand in hand with drinking for a lot of people. And it's just a bad combination. Any way you slice it.
You need a DC, a designated captain, which is like a designated driver, but they stay sober and drive the boat because it's just...
And also... Make sure nobody's falling overboard or, you know, just doing stupid shit.
Yeah, a babysitter for the boat.
Truly. And nobody likes to be that person. So it's, you know, oftentimes there isn't one.
No, I do like that, you know, back then as up through now, you could like rent a boat with a captain. And that's good because they're going to stay sober and just be like, oh, you do you. I'm going to be back here waiting it out. But for the people that own their own, then... Or you can even rent it and you drive it yourself. There's no, there's not really rules. The amount of times me and my family or my friends from high school go rent a boat and someone's like, who's driving? And everyone goes, Heather used to work at Sea Dog. And I was like, I did comedic architectural tours. But I'm like, yeah, okay. I'll try. Like,
I'll drive
I know
it.
I can drive. I can like tie some knots and stuff. But like, what if I didn't have even that knowledge? They're like, here's the keys. See you later. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I want a captain that has had some... hours clocked on the seas.
I want a salty sea dog.
It's a hard thing to police, though.
Yeah.
Life jackets and drinking. I mean, there are like lake patrol that go around and stuff, but especially with a lake this big, you can't get to everybody. And so they put a lot of it on you. And if you're not willing to do those things, then you may pay the consequences.
Big consequences.
The sharp rise in fatal accidents at Lake Lanier in 2012 sparked national attention and calls for reform. That summer, 9-year-old Jake Prince and his 13-year-old brother Griffin were killed when their family's pontoon boat was struck by an intoxicated boater. Their parents became vocal advocates for stricter boating under the influence laws. Just weeks later, 11-year-old Kyle Glover, stepson of singer Usher, died after being struck by a jet ski while tubing. His mother, Tamika Foster, later publicly called for Lake Lanier to be drained, citing ongoing safety concerns and the lake's troubling history.
Yeah, it's something like between 2008 and 2018, they had 525 or 580, over 500 boating while under the influence arrests.
That's enough to where I think you have to put some money towards
enforcement.
Really strict laws. You get more people out on police patrolling and bigger consequences, fines if you're caught doing it. I can't think of maybe a worse thing to witness than either way these children died.
Mm-hmm. Especially, and it's that up against, we were going to have such a fun day. Mm-hmm. And then to watch it, I'm sure feeling extremely, as a parent, like you feel helpless. You're like, this thing is huge. And for Tamika to call for it to be drained, I mean, I'm sure that's what looks like the only answer in your head of like, this is a big monster that eats kids, which yeah. It is, you know? And it's like, what can we do? We've tried boating enforcement. We've tried signs. We've tried. And still that happens. Yeah. I believe the person that hit him was a family friend or someone they knew and did serve some time. But that doesn't do anything for you to bring your kid back.
And these kids weren't doing like swimming without a life jacket and drowned. They were just enjoying themselves and out of their complete control. People that were fucking around.
Yeah.
Choosing.
Yeah, choosing to just go, oh, it's no big deal. And that's the problem is everybody thinks it's no big deal. It's no big deal until it is you're the one on that jet ski and the kid is under you.
Yeah, I would say it's always a big deal.
Mm-hmm. With a place like this involved, certainly.
Mm-hmm. That same year, the lake also experienced one of the worst droughts in its history, which caused water levels to plummet. As the lake receded, the Pasquet literally surfaced, including chilling glimpses of the Oscarville racetrack, long buried beneath the waters since the lake was created in the 1950s. Locals and historians alike remarked on the eerie imagery of sunlight hitting crumbling concrete where race cars once roared and families once cheered. Lisa Russell, a historian who has studied the lake's development, observed,
"Once a land that belonged to indigenous people and African Americans, it's now buried under the water, making recovery of lost culture impossible."
And recovery of bodies.
Right. And just seeing, then we'll make sure we put it in the social media post, the racetrack, it's just a full ass, I mean, there's like stands left. It's not 100% perfect, but you can see exactly what it used to be and where people used to sit. And it is like eerie to think it just sits there. It's like an Atlantis.
Yeah. No, I've thought that many times. Like this is a Lake Atlantis, essentially. Mm-hmm. However, Atlantis, for those that believe, I imagine is quite deeper than than this lake. I mean, 160 feet deep is still like in the case recovered where the woman was doing the breath diving.
Audrey Mist.
Yes, that was 160 feet is how deep they go. So it is very deep. I imagine if it recedes enough to where you can see this, local teens and whatnot are going to go down there and fuck around and stuff. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I very well could have been one of them. And that's just another danger. It's like, well, the water's not here, but dangerous hazards that this now has from sitting under the water for decades. Mm-hmm. It's still here.
No, truly. And I think it wasn't until like 2023 that really the maps of what was down there, where stuff, everything was, were lost. They were in these big tubes and they were hidden. And the Army Corps of Engineers didn't find them or get a hold. They were like, some guys like, we're going to throw them away. We opened them up and we're like, oh, damn, that's like maps. And one of the guys that worked at the Army Corps of Engineers was like, this was like Christmas Day for me because mm-hmm. I can now we know, oh, that's where the church was. That's where they were just kind of piecing it together by what they could see when the waters receded. But of course, when some parts of the waters recede, not all of it does. And so having this complete picture of it, A, it empowers everybody to know where stuff is and mark it with buoys. But you're right. If you are a, you know, a curious, like, the type of people that want to go into abandoned buildings, but you want to do it in a dive, and you're like, I'm going to go dive into the abandoned church. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, good luck. Godspeed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sinister Hood will be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus, on edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
In early 2015, the disappearance and subsequent death, 25-year-old Kelly Nash in Beaufort, Georgia, once again captured widespread attention and left many unanswered questions. On January 5th, 2015, Nash was reported missing from his home on Jimmy Dodd Road in Beaufort. His girlfriend, Jessica Sexton, last saw him around 4 a.m. when he mentioned feeling unwell. By 7:30 a.m., Nash was gone, leaving behind his wallet, cell phone, and truck. Notably, a 9mm handgun was missing from the residence. After an extensive search that lasted over a month, Nash's body was discovered on February 8, 2015, by a fisherman in Lake Lanier near Shadburn Ferry Road, close to the Hall-Gwinnett County line. He was found wearing the same pajama pants and dark shirt he had on when last seen. Nash's body appeared to have been in the water since around the time of his disappearance. An autopsy revealed that Nash had suffered a gunshot wound. Captain Sean McGusker of the Hall County Sheriff's Office confirmed this detail, but stated that the official cause of death was pending until the medical examiner's report was finalized. The Investigation Discovery Channel reported that Nash died from a gunshot wound followed by drowning. The circumstances surrounding Nash's death have led to various speculations. Authorities have not definitively ruled out foul play, and the absence of his handgun has added to the mystery. The case has been featured in media outlets, including an episode titled Gone in Georgia, a Disappeared Special, on the Investigation Discovery Channel, highlighting the lingering uncertainties and the impact on the local community. As of now, the full details of what transpired remain unclear, leaving family, friends, and the community seeking answers.
I think something like that where you talked to your boyfriend, he's like, I don't feel very well, flu-like symptoms, and then he leaves. You know, it's like, where were you going if you didn't feel good?
But this whole case is fascinating and very bizarre. I mean, mm-hmm. We could do easily a whole episode on it. There's so many weird details and, you know, things left out by the family, like what was the state of his mental health. He had been, like you said, he had flu-like symptoms and he had been taking some medication, but no one understands why he would have just left in the middle of the night without mm-hmm. any of his stuff.
And with the gun, either but he had the gun or missing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that's the kind of it without absent a, like a, for sure answer, yes, it was obviously this from police and law enforcement. Not only would his family, but also people from that area, given the already sort of eerie reputation of the place where he was found, not to say, oh, there was something paranormal, just insofar as this is a dangerous lake in an eerie area. It is where people have passed away before. I can see why, you know, not only you ask questions because you want to know what happened to your loved ones, but it's spurred onward by its proximity to this.
Mm-hmm. The summer of 2019 proved to be particularly tragic at Lake Lanier, with multiple drownings further cementing the lake's reputation for danger. Among the victims was 28-year-old Corey Brown, who drowned after jumping off a pontoon boat to assist a struggling friend. Brown was swept away by currents, and his body was recovered days later near Van's Tavern Park. That summer saw a total of 10 water-related deaths at the lake, including 8 drownings and 2 boating fatalities. Again, the high number of fatalities during this period led to increased calls for water safety awareness and the importance of wearing life jackets while on the lake.
That's classic. I mean, you think, I got to go help my friend. I got to do something to help my friend.
Who's also struggling to swim. Like, one jumps in to help somebody that's potentially about to drown.
I mean, it's one of those you act without thinking because you have a generous spirit, right? You're like, I don't care if I die. I want to save my friend. But not understanding what Phil Torres from Expedition X, the biologist, explained, that the currents underneath are necessarily harder, stranger, something that you're not used to, because it is an unnatural lake bottom. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just flow like a normal lake. It's going to swish and turn around a 60-foot tree and a steeple and a racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
So it's never the person jumping in. It's never their intention, I'm sure, to go against what is an unstoppable natural force. You think, oh, it looks pretty calm on the surface. I'll jump in and save them. And that feeling of having, you know, I felt hands pulling me. I don't know that those are hands. I think those might be unusual currents that mm-hmm. you're not used to feeling in a lake.
Yeah, definitely. Yeesh. It's just ironic that he was jumping in to save someone mm-hmm. who was also drowning. And that's how prevalent this mm-hmm. is on this lake, you mm-hmm. know?
To see somebody struggling, yeah.
30-year-old Li Bao Chen and his 9-year-old son Ethan were also among the victims in 2019. Chen had entered the water to rescue his son, who had not resurfaced, but both were pulled under and did not survive despite rescue efforts. The family had been spending the day at Margaritaville at Lanier Islands. Their deaths were the first of several linked to the Jimmy Buffett-themed resort and its swimming areas. In June of 2020, a 4-year-old boy, identified in court documents as IC, nearly drowned at Paradise Beach within Margaritaville at Lanier Islands. The incident occurred in an area without lifeguards, and the family's lawsuit alleged it took approximately 10 minutes for park staff to respond. As a result of the delayed rescue, the child suffered severe and lifelong injuries. The family sued, and in August of 2023, a Gwinnett County judge approved a $16 million partial settlement in favor of the family.
10 minutes to respond to
That's crazy.
A struggling kid. I mean, it's an area without lifeguards, and that's why companies put up signs that say no lifeguard on duty, because essentially they're saying, we're not really going to help you if anything happens. And I think a lot of us think, oh, well, swim at your own risk. It's next to a resort. I think there is an underlying perhaps misguided, but I think we are just like, oh, it's a recognizable brand. It's Margaritaville. Mm-hmm. Those are everywhere. Surely they would not have this horrifically unsafe stretch of water. But I mean,
they can't control it.
Yeah, that's the problem.
The lake changes every second, so they can't control what's going on there. But yeah, it is a swim at your own risk situation, and to be without oxygen for that mm-hmm. long mm-hmm. is definitely going to cause some lifelong dangers. I don't think $16 million is enough. But at the same time, if it said no lifeguards on duty and swim at your own risk, I mean, that does put a lot of responsibility on the parents.
And true, and especially if you think, well, you know, I saw the signs, but I'd never fathomed it could be. And it's like, you kind of have, like, mm-hmm. that's the unfortunate truth. And like, that's why companies put those up, is because the absolute worst could happen, which that child survived. Li Bao Chen and his son did not mm-mm. survive. So it's like the worst could happen.
Yeah. While that suit was pending, another man died at Margaritaville over Memorial Day of 2022. On May 29th, 20-year-old Jose Camarillo of Stone Mountain tragically drowned while swimming in the designated area at the resort. According to the Georgia Department of Natural Resources, Camarillo went under and did not resurface. His body was later recovered by game wardens using side scan sonar and recovered by Hall County fire personnel.
And I think, too, you in those areas, it doesn't look that deep, but several people I saw who were talking about their own personal experience in the lake, they said, You could be walking around in what's like chest deep, waist deep water, and you take one step and it is a cliff down.
Yeah.
And you have no idea. And when you take that step down, there could be a current that then pulls you and you're suddenly like you're pulled far away, whether you can fight it or not. And that's why they find, I think, bodies further away from where they initially went under, because sure. you just can't expect where you're going to go.
No, no. And this is in the designated area mm-hmm. at mm-hmm. the resort too. So designated or swim at your own risk, you can't predict. And I don't know what makes one area a little bit safer and another not. Maybe things that they know are underneath, but the currents are the currents, and like waterfall and rising and lowering, like all of that is unpredictable. I would argue that at this resort, we should have zero swimming.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think you are not. That's Judge Christie has ruled.
I have ruled. Finally, in response to these incidents, Margaritaville at Lanier Islands announced a ban on swimming at its popular Landshark Landing Beach in May of 2023. To enforce the swimming ban, a fence was installed along the shoreline, restricting water access. While the beach remains open for lounging, swimming is now only permitted in controlled environments like the Aquatic Adventure Wee Bit attraction, floating playground featuring a variety of challenges, including climbing walls, balance beams, slides, and trampolines.
And I saw at least one video of this beach now, and there's a big ass sign that says do not swim. And there's, you know, it's like posts with like a rope across the top and a rope across the bottom. And you can see, it looks kind of like when you go to summer camp and there's like a water trampoline, a water slide. But the video I saw was not, look at this new stuff at Margaritaville. It was like, you done fucked up, Margaritaville. Open the beach back up. Uh-uh. And I was like, listen. And that's not into Georgia accent. That's just how the accent I do, because that's how me and my kinfolk sound. But it's like, let's take a minute and ask ourselves why those signs are yeah. up. And probably someone paid literally the ultimate price. Three people paid with their lives. Another child paid with the rest of his life or her life. That's why it's not swimming, but you can just do water trampolines now.
Which also, stupid idea. I got a lot of opinions about water parks and, and amusement parks. However, a fence, great. How often do we think people get drunk and are like, fuck it, at night or so, you know what I mean? I don't know. But right. again, if you do, then that's on you because you were told not to get in there. I would find it hard to relax if I was at a resort near the lake that I was not allowed to swim in because so many deaths occur that we can't swim in the waters. I don't know that I even want to be in that close of proximity to that lake.
No, exactly. So I'm like, don't just be like, hey, we should be able to swim in there. Be like, I wonder why we're not mm-hmm. allowed to swim in there. It's like sometimes there's signs up because there's alligators. Not here, but you know, it's like you go to a place and go, don't get near the water. Psh, whatever. Oh, fuck, there's a gator in there. It's like the signs, as you can see, the signs don't go up lightly. The signs go right. up after they get sued for $16 million.
Yeah. I wonder if a sign explaining how each of the victims drowned with their pictures on it posted mm-hmm. on the beach might have a little more effect.
Yeah. It's like, I'm sorry the beach is closed, but cautionary here's why. Tale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
The resort has emphasized that guest safety is their top priority. In 2024, they opened Apocalypso, Georgia's first waterslide coaster, the largest drop of its kind in the U.S. Margaritaville describes it as
a fusion of heart-pounding drops and uphill blasts that'll keep you on the edge of your seat, sending riders on rafts down steep valleys and blasting them up hills. You'll experience a dramatic final valley before a near vertical ascent up the wall of Apocalypso with one last surprise hump for an electrifying finish. This incredible attraction spans 418 feet of slide.
Public reactions were mixed, with one tweet reading,
"Waterslide park at Lake Lanier, please go to hell."
And no, that wasn't me that tweeted that.
No, it's great.
This sounds like my worst nightmare. A lot of people, this would be like the most fun that they could have.
Yeah.
I fear that we just took the danger and rebranded it to make it look more fun and exciting. This shit's also very, very dangerous.
It's giving class action park.
Right?
Like, what is happening?
For sure. Going up, I don't even understand the science behind you're going up
on a
near vertical ascent. The water is blasting you so fast that you're almost vertical, mm-hmm. going up a wall
of Apocalypso.
Goddamn. And then you get a surprise hump.
Hell yeah.
And an electrifying finish.
That's my preference.
I mean, in some situations, I also prefer that. This sounds like just somebody waiting to fly out of these rafts and ..
It's open last year, so I mean,
good
we'll
God.
See. I hope for everybody's safety. It's everybody pays attention. There's policies in place. Because I'm a theme park fan. I like this kind of stuff. But as long as there are somebody's paying attention, you have policies, you have procedures that we follow that are implemented for people's safety. Because it is nevertheless a bit chilling to be like, I'm going to go up the slide of Apocalypso on top of this kind of burial ground.
Yeah, yeah. It's also an industry where people are constantly trying to outdo what others have done and make it even more thrilling and mm-hmm. dangerous. And that's where I'm like, I'm good. Because, yes, even if people are watching and stuff, I don't know. The mechanics of how these things work can be faulty at any time.
Well, and especially no matter what, it's humans are yeah. operating them. Yeah, so yeah. there's always a chance for human error. Or, you know, oh, I looked down at my phone for 1 second and I didn't make sure that the kid was clamped into the safety strap mm-hmm. or whatever. So it's just a place like this is fun indeed. However, there's the underlying vigilance that accompanies it.
Yeah, I'm gonna be like the not fun parent that's like, no, you cannot go to Wet and Wild because of here are the following reasons.
For the following reasons. But I gotta get blasted by Apocalypso.
I'm like, you don't though. We can figure out something else. I don't know. I've always had, and I went to theme parks and water parks all the time growing up, only in my seasoned age have, and probably also my intolerance for roller coasters now. I'm like, No.
Yeah, I think I was a little bit looser when I was younger. And then I go to law school and now I'm kind of like, there are certain rides I won't get on because I'm like, nope, mm-mm. nobody's checked that. Mm-mm. But if I feel like, okay, this is a well-operated, like, you know, everybody's on the top of their game, I'm happy to strap in, understanding that even that, the shit can go down.
Yeah. Between mid-2023 and early 2025, Lake Lanier experienced a series of fatalities, ranging from drownings to electrocution and intentional death. On July 27, 2023, Thomas Milner, 24, lost his life after being electrocuted in the waters of Lake Lanier near his family's home on Dove Trail. Milner jumped into the water and immediately began screaming for help. A neighbor, hearing the cries, rushed to assist. When he jumped in to save Milner, he immediately felt a burning sensation in the water, quickly realizing there was an electrical current. Power to the dock was shut off before pulling Milner from the water. He was transported to Northside Forsyth Hospital, where he later died. Milner had suffered from electric shock drowning, a rare but fatal hazard where faulty wiring allows electricity to leak into the water. Officials urged residents to inspect dock wiring often to prevent future incidents.
Well, that's, I'm horrified at this death, because it's something that you think like, oh, it's, you know, I'm just fixing something, or I'm going to go for a swim next to my family's dock that I've jumped into my whole life. And electrocution in the water?
Yeah. What I don't understand is how the neighbor could jump in and not also die. He recognized that, like, whatever he was feeling, he immediately knew what it was. I don't know if he got out quick enough to where it didn't fully take him over, but I don't know how electricity and shit like that works.
The only thing I could think of is if Milner jumped in an area that was more electrified, and then because you could feel it, swam away. So then where the neighbor jumped in, it was further from where the current was making contact with the water. So while he could feel the heat and the energy from it, it was at least being dissipated. It's one thing to say about a big ass lake that it doesn't electrify the whole entire lake because there's enough water to dissipate the energy. So maybe he got a little, you know, someone grabbing a live wire versus someone grabbing the end of a wire. Mm-hmm. You're both feeling the same energy, but one's getting way, way, way more. But that is, I chalk that up to something I did not know could happen. And that, I mean, I know you, if you're standing in water and electricity touches it, but to be in a large body of water like a lake, I did not.
I knew it because of the show Ozark, which is filmed. Nice. A lot of it is filmed at this lake. They call it a different lake in the show. It happens in that show. And so
I haven't hit that episode yet.
That's how I knew about it. But it is such a scary thing to think about that you, once you know it's a problem, it's too late.
Yeah, God.
In late October of 2023, Walter Juarez Guardado, 37-year-old father of two from Roswell, drowned after falling off a jet ski at Lake Lanier near East Bank Park. According to the Georgia Department of Natural Resources, Guardado initially fell into the water while not wearing a life jacket, but managed to swim to shore. Witnesses reported that he then attempted to swim back out to retrieve the jet ski, but went under and did not resurface. His girlfriend, concerned when he didn't return, began searching for him that evening. The search continued into the night and over the weekend. Gwinnett and Hall County Fire Departments using aviation and boat-mounted sonar. Guardado's body was eventually found on Monday, 2 days later, under 20 feet of water. His daughter, Angie Juarez, shared her grief with People magazine.
He cares about family a lot. He cares about his daughters and his mother. Everything he did was for us.
Guardado's death was the 12th drowning at Lake Lanier in 2023, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
And I can imagine if you fell off a jet ski and managed to have the strength to swim to shore, you sort of think, oh, well, I already made it once. Not kind of understanding, well, yes, but you've exhausted yourself more by that swim. And also just it's these currents, like finding, continually finding bodies submerged underwater tells me that the current is pulling them somewhere and they're getting trapped.
That's a good point. Yeah. And trapped in a wreckage, debris, whatever is under there too. Tree branches. It is so many of these are found still submerged as opposed to floating, which is how a lot of drowning deaths are discovered.
Yeah, it's what initially, you know, one would expect, you know, they said, oh, there's so many bodies that we couldn't find on the lake. And I thought, how is that possible? But it's these, the currents and getting lodged in places.
The following year, on May 29th, 2024, 73-year-old Matthew Mayo of Gainesville drowned while enjoying a fishing trip with his wife on Lake Lanier. According to the DNR, Mayo attempted to sit on a seat in his bass boat, which unexpectedly became unbolted, causing him to fall into the water. Despite his wife's efforts, he did not resurface. Game wardens utilized boat-mounted sonar to locate Mayo in 6 feet of water, and his body was recovered using a remote-operated vessel, operated by Hall County Fire Rescue. This incident raised awareness of the importance of boat maintenance and highlighted how even shallow water could pose a significant risk.
something as easy as a bolt. And that's how just falling in water, you think, oh, it's like
6 feet.
Yeah.
Some people could stand in that.
Yeah. Or like my boat's right there. I can swim back over to it. But it really is, I think, the depth of the water, the frigidness of the water. And I've seen TikToks of people going, not, of course, this serious. They're lucky enough to be alive to make TikToks, but going, this is what happens when you go on Lake Lanier. And it's like their boat engine's on fire. And they're like, perfectly fine boat. I don't know what happened. It's just something about this lake. And it's like, is it, or it's just statistically there's more people on the lake and you think that, but certainly the idea that your boat, something will go wrong with your boat when you're on Lake Lanier has become part of the lore.
Mm-hmm. Can't imagine sitting there as his wife and seeing him go over anything of someone just goes underwater and doesn't resurface. Mm. That hits me in a way that other things don't. And it's also so eerie to think about because it is like, how could one not just kick and come back up? Mm-hmm. That's how powerful water can be. Mm-hmm. And I think it's easy to like forget Mother Nature never loses.
Right. Undefeated.
You can't.
She's undefeated.
It's just, and it's not personal. So it's like, it's just doing its thing. Mm-hmm. And the thing it's doing is man-made also.
Yeah. And it's exactly like it's Mother Nature responding to our meddling with Mother Nature. And then, again, it's like, I don't know that it's a paranormal type curse, but it's sort of a you reap what you sow type curse of like you have now created a dangerous body of water that you otherwise would not exist. It literally wouldn't exist without human intervention.
Yeah.
And then now that it does exist, it operates how it's going to operate because it finds a way. Nature finds a way.
And to Tamika Foster's point, draining the lake might literally be the only way to stop this. I mean, you just have to like erase the lake and take back what you did. Does that affect the drinking water and everything that it also serves a point for? Sure. If you save hundreds of lives per year, maybe we could find a better alternative. I don't know.
That's a good point.
Just a week later, on June 5th of 2024, 76-year-old Jim Hansard, also of Gainesville, was found drowned in the lake. Hansard was last seen around lunchtime at his dock near Keith Bridge Park. A friend discovered his golf cart at the dock and noticed a shoe floating nearby. Shortly after, game wardens found Hansard in 13 feet of water.
And to think you were recently on your dock with your golf cart and your shoes on, and perhaps you slipped and fell or tripped and fell or something, and to fall near a dock anywhere else perhaps would not be a fatal thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just given the attributes of this lake that that's why it seems deadlier, right? It's like people fall in lakes, they fall off of jet skis, they fall off of their boats all the time. But they surface and they get back on them, or they're rescued while treading water. And it's like, you can't tread this water.
No. And to the point about swimming near docks, that's pretty much exclusively unless we were out on a boat, but, you know, where we would swim at friends' lake houses or something, you would jump off the dock into the water because it was like, this is the safest place to swim because we're right around here. But when there's shit that just isn't in other lakes going on down there, it's just not the same thing. And you got to take that into account. Like, this isn't the same lake as a lake in Texas that I did the same thing in.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's not because of, you know, Texas is better or not. We have man-made lakes here, certainly a ton of them.
Tons of them.
But the bottom of the lake is different.
Yes.
And that's the difference is the ecology and just like the physical, the makeup of what's going on beneath you has an impact on what the water does to you.
Mm-hmm.
Sinister Hood will be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper. Distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
One of the lake's most popular times, Labor Day weekend, saw a tragedy strike yet again. On August 31st, 2024, 46-year-old Hassani Wideman drowned while attempting to swim back to his boat from the shore of Bethel Park on Lake Lanier. Witnesses, including his wife and children, saw him struggling before he went under. First responders from Forsyth and Hall counties arrived before 2 p.m. Using boat-mounted sonar, they located Wideman in approximately 25 feet of water. His body was recovered with the assistance of a remote-operated vessel from the Hall County Fire Department. Forsyth Fire Division Chief Jason Shivers commented on the lake's third drowning victim of the year to Atlanta News First.
It was very tragic and sad, something I personally have been involved with way too many times in my career.
Again, watching your loved one just go under and your kids, it's heartbreaking, nauseating.
It's something that I'm sure you will carry with you significantly forever. That feeling of helplessness. And we see the ripple effect of repeated tragedy on all the first responders involved. Yeah. I don't know that going to work every day and knowing you have to dredge up a body or you have to go comfort a family whose loved one was like, but he was just here. He was, like you said, especially watching them being taken under the water is such a confusing thing. Cause I think we all think, oh, water's water. It's lake. It's like you said, we swim next to the dock all the time. Mm-hmm. We do this all the time and not understanding literally until the year before this, they didn't even have the maps of what was really the actual lake bottom underneath your feet to even start to estimate what some of the different types of currents could be. So the idea of like, I tread water all the time. It's like, it's like going in with the preconceived notion, not that this gentleman did, but I think just everybody that goes out onto the lake's like, oh, it's a lake. Like, yeah, that's fine. Understanding. It's a little bit different.
And from the shore to your boat, it's probably not as, you know, the waves aren't as high. It would be very odd to be like, what happened? Like with all of these, you're just like, the lake was still, he went under and then that was it. It's not like an ocean where you're like, did an animal, a shark or something? No, I mean, there might be alligators in this lake, but I haven't seen anything mentioned about that. It's just the currents.
Yeah, you're right. And like in the ocean, it's almost your mind is predisposed to go, a factor here could be that I or my loved one could get swept out and I would not see them again. Mm-hmm. But you're right. In something that's a closed environment like a lake, I think you subconsciously or consciously mentally prepare yourself of like, oh, well, you know, at least I'm not going to go anywhere because it's all one lake. And it's like, well, it is, but it's unfathomably deep and hides a lot of shit under that surface.
It's a false sense of security, I think.
That's a good point.
Not all of the deaths that occur on the lake are accidental. On February 27, 2025, the body of Murtuza Mansarali Sayani, 56, of Lilburn, was found floating near the 6 Mile Creek boat ramp. Fishermen discovered his body around 6:40 p.m. and called authorities. Forsyth County Fire Services responded and recovered the body. The Forsyth County Sheriff's Office later confirmed that the death was determined to be an intentional act and that no foul play was suspected. The sheriff's office commenting to Atlanta News First that
the death doesn't appear to be suspicious.
That's another thing that happens too.
Yeah, I think if you were looking for a place and a place has a reputation and or is just vast, it's just a vast shoreline. People are attracted to water for different reasons. There's something to it.
Yeah. there's not a lot of information out there about this that answered what did they find to let them know it was an intentional act. Perhaps it's out of respect to the family or something, but they did conclude it wasn't suspicious and seemed on purpose.
Yeah.
Lake Lanier's reputation as a, quote, cursed lake has been amplified by social media, particularly TikTok, where users share personal stories and explore the submerged remnants of Oscarville. Videos of scuba divers exploring the depths of the green-tinged water with near zero visibility show viewers the dangers of what lies beneath the glassy surface. Trees with tangled branches, rusted out machinery, and concrete hazards.
And that's, man, these videos of people on TikTok going down under Lake Lanier in their scuba gear. I mean, Godspeed, folks. I hope you make it back up because it is very, not only is it very difficult visibility, the water is murky, the silt that you kick up by going down there, but you can also get the oxygen hypoxia and get confused.
Yeah. Or stuck in something. That one guy that's like grabbing onto tree branches and like pulling himself through the water, they're all, it's like, you know, a spooky tree coming out. One near miss and you just, I don't know, end up stuck in them and then you can't get out. That's why swimming or scuba diving or anything, you should always have a buddy in case something like that does happen.
No, that's why on Expedition X, when they sent Phil down there, they had him like on a line, like basically they could yank him back up if he, and he did suffer like oxygen hypoxia and started feeling like loopy and everything being down there. Because like you said, it's down as deep as divers go for competition. That's how deep it can go. But the other thing is, even if you've gone and dove before and you're like, oh, let me go show you this cool area. The thing about something being submerged underwater and at the mercy of nature, what do we say? Mother Nature, undefeated. So it could change. So you have somebody with a false sense of perhaps confidence because, oh, I've been here before. And then not understanding or not appreciating fully the fact that where you've been doesn't exist. You can never step in the same river twice. You can never step in Lake Lanier the same twice. Lake Lanier is different every second of every day because of the movement of the currents in the water. So it's like, I think people get bold. And some of those videos I've seen, I'm like, you're down too deep, man. Come back up. Send a robot down there. You don't need to be down there.
I think a lot of people, it is that kind of death-defying thrill that they're seeking, like cave divers. And there's a big-ass sign at the bottom of the episode 13 cave that we covered that says, like, stop, turn back, do not come through this gate. So many people have died here. If you do, it's on you. And an actual picture of the Grim Reaper.
Yes. You know?
And people still,
they're like,
go through it. They're like,
yeah,
but it won't be me. And we all think that. But so many of us know sometimes it is. Like, we're like, that would never happen to my loved one until it does. And you're like, fuck, it can happen to anybody. Mother Nature doesn't care about socioeconomic status or anything of that. It's just, it's an equalizer for all.
It is. And that's an equalizer for all. And I think another video that I sent to you was a bunch of people on Lake Lanier on a dock.
Yeah.
And it's too many people too on many. A dock. If Way you're asking many. Me, and it's just precariously like falling and then falling a little bit and falling a little bit more. And that's something else to consider when you're on a lake, that you're not on a lake alone. You're on a lake with all those people who think it's fine to pile like 1500 people. I don't know how that's, I'm exaggerating, but pile what I would consider a shitload of people on a dock that is struggling and shuddering beneath their feet to where they all get tumped in the water. And again, you're like, oh, well, the dock just collapsed here next to the pier, whatever. Like, we'll swim back. Not everybody can swim back from the docks surrounding this lake. So what, you know, that kind of shit.
That video also looked like a lot of drinking was going on. And you're like, well, I'm not swimming, so I can get drunk until you fall in the lake and then you're fucked.
Yeah, until your dock collapses under you. But that's the other thing is like, I'm not out here on Lake Lanier, just me and my family. It's me and my family in our area and then a bunch of dumbasses all around us. And now the lake's full of them because the dock tumped over and they all fell out.
I've seen that happen with other docks too. People or like party boats. They're just, I mean, asses to elbow. And then at some point it just gives way. And in that video, and we'll link it in our show notes, people are like jumping off of it, mm-hmm. you know, before
to get ahead of it.
Some people are just kind of being casual about it, and others are kind of trotting down to jump off of it. Not enough urgency for my liking.
give me a little bit more get up and go. Uh-huh. And get up and jump. I would probably be a jumper off the side to avoid. I would rather take control of my own fate than have gravity and the actions of all of the people acting like, you know, they're freaking out or not next to me. I want to be the master of my own fate.
Well, jumping in, though.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I would never be invited to a party like that. I would never attend if I were invited.
I would have been somebody that jumps off into the grass, but I'm not jumping off into the lake because a lot of times, even if you're like right by the dock and you think you're safe, you're not, especially when a huge ass dock is collapsing next to you. Mm-hmm. Who knows what that's going to cause?
You're going to catch me on the dock party just like drinking my drink with a full life vest on. And they're like, we're on the second story. I'm like, yeah, I know. And then the thing starts collapsing. And I'm like, take me.
I'll be here for next year's too.
Guess what? I always wear a life jacket mm-hmm. to a dock party. And they're like, and that's why we don't invite you.
I would invite you to my dock party. But also, I would never have that many people on one dock because
no,
I don't like crowds, first of all. But also, it's so unsafe.
A, it's unsafe. And B, let's have an air of exclusivity to our party. Not just anybody can come, to the point that it collapses the dock underneath you. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for inviting me. I will also be wearing my big blue helmet. So,
oh, good. Well, you never know. You can't be too safe. The lake's troubling history has also captured the attention of both documentary filmmakers and fictional storytellers, leading to a diverse array of media that explores its legacy of racial violence, environmental disruption, and alleged hauntings. The 2024 documentary, Surviving Lake Lanier, delves into the submerged history beneath the lake's surface. It also features firsthand accounts of near-death experiences on the lake. The television series Files of the Unexplained on Netflix also includes an episode investigating the mysterious deaths and disappearances associated with Lake Lanier.
And both of those involve people who say, I was swimming and this happened to me, whether it's I felt someone pull me by my ankle or I felt someone else come and pull me up and save me. And that's another type of TikTok video I've come across is people talking about, you know, I was 9 years old and I jumped into the lake and I really felt like I was being pulled under. And then all of a sudden I felt like I was being pulled up and I felt like an angel pulled me up or whatever. So people have all types of experiences in the lake, but the documentary Surviving Lake Lanier sort of focuses on not only the history like we did in part one, but also talking to current people that go on the lake and kind of going like, hey, do you know about this history? And somebody was like, I didn't know about this. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to now call it Oscarville because I think we should be honoring this legacy. And boaters, especially, they interview a Black boater and he's like, listen, as a Black man, I want to respect and understand the history of this lake, but I also want to enjoy boating and fishing. And that means doing it in a responsible, respectful manner. And there's ways to enjoy the lake's beauty while also respecting where it came from mm-hmm. and wants to encourage, like, don't be, our ancestors were sort of ousted from this area. Don't let perhaps some of this like negative press keep you away, but also understand it is bigger than all of us. Like,
yeah.
It's something to be feared.
Feared and revered.
Yeah.
The 2023 horror film, Lanier, draws inspiration from the true events surrounding Oscarville and the lake. The narrative follows a detective who, while investigating a drowning case, confronts the dark truths hidden beneath the lake's surface. In the third season of FX's Atlanta, the opening episode references the lake's history, weaving in elements of the supernatural and the real-life events that led to Oscarville's demise. The Netflix series Ozark has also filmed water scenes at Lake Lanier, though it stands in for Missouri's Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah, it was crazy looking at pictures of it. I was like, that looks like the one from that Netflix show. And I literally Googled, where is the lake in the Netflix show? And it was like, it is set in Missouri. And then it wasn't until further research. I was like, yeah, but they film it on Lake Lanier. And that's why I recognized it.
I'd be like, no, I'm going to film it on the Ozarks Lake. We're not doing this here.
They're like, well, when Missouri gives the same film tax incentives as Georgia does, we'll film in Missouri.
Restless souls form the basis of the lake's most prevalent legends. Four themes fueling Lake Lanier's ghost stories mirror deep historical trauma and unresolved injustice. Given the desecration of the Muskogee burial grounds and the graves of what appeared to be former Oscarville residents seen by Phil Torres on Expedition X, the lake hides a painful history. Locals have even claimed tombstones and grave markers have surfaced during droughts. Disrupted burial rituals have long been a motif found in many global haunting traditions. The lake's very creation was predicated on disturbing the dead, so it's no wonder that visitors fear the dead may be disturbing the living in return.
Yeah, I think that's always going to bring a certain vibe when you understand that it was once a final resting place, then desecrated, now used for recreation. I think we our conscious maybe make us think they're going to reach up and grab me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe your conscious is right.
Since its creation, over 700 people have died in the lake, many bodies still unrecovered. When swimmers describe feeling tugged underwater by invisible hands or hearing voices calling from the lake, their experiences are likely influenced by the lake's deadly reputation. A place of recreation that has seen so much death is bound to instill fear in fishermen and divers who report cold spots, sudden mechanical failures, or seeing lights beneath the water.
Like that guy on TikTok going, Lake Lanier made my boat engine catch on fire. I'm like, or are you just like bad at boat maintenance?
Yeah.
You just like didn't change the oil. And he's like, the lake must be cursed. And I'm like, I don't think the insurance is going to take that as an explanation.
And it's not a hand tugging you under. It's the currents that you wish it was a hand. You could shake that free much easier than the current. Fluctuating water levels, murky water, and unpredictable structures under the surface can make navigating a boat a struggle. Swimmers, however, are most often the victims who drown. Richard Pickering runs Lake Lanier Recovery Divers, as well as the nonprofit emergency dive response team. In a 2023 interview with the Gainesville Times, he estimated an average of 7 drownings per year, but acknowledged,
sometimes we've had as high as 32, I think, was a record one year.
He cited alcohol has a big factor in most accidents, estimating it as a problem in around 30% of the time.
I bet. Yeah. He'd know. He would know. He's the one that gets called out.
People that do this, recovery divers, thank you.
Yes.
It takes a very certain individual that can do this day in and day out. Pickering warned that it only takes seconds to die in Lake Lanier, telling the Times.
Typical person will drown out there in the middle of the lake in less than 60 seconds.
And for younger swimmers, it can be even faster, just 20 seconds. The cause? Huge rolling waves from large boats crossing the lake reach several feet high and thrash in from different directions. Pickering explained.
It's not like being at the beach where you've got some waves and they're crashing over the top of you and you can time them. Here, you get hit with one wave this way and another wave that way and another one this way. You can never catch your breath, so you're constantly struggling to try to stay above water and you get tired in a hurry. And it only takes one big gulp of water and they're going down.
The best way to stay safe, according to the man who recovers bodies of many of the lake's victims,
wear a life jacket. That's the main thing you can do. Really?
Yeah. And he makes a very good point of like why this is so different than other bodies of water, because it is like, it's just relentless. You're just getting slammed every way from water and you just can't get a breath. And you do tire out so fast in water.
No, really. And especially the larger surface area where a big boat could be 50 or 100 feet away and the waves from that are still going to affect you. And a different boat is 20 feet away and another boat is 10 feet away. And all of those, that's just, it's physics, baby. And like we said, you can't fight that. And as strong a swimmer as you think you are, you cannot factor in for all of the various extra, like extraneous factors that are going to change where you're swimming. Like you said, the ocean, you know, it's like in and out. In and, okay, this one's a little bit bigger. I can jump this one. This is like, and it's not even timed because you're recovering from one while another bigger one knocks you down. And then a little one comes in before you can breathe from that one.
Yeah.
So I'm like, the one person that I'm going to listen to is not the lady that's like, why'd they close the Margaritaville like beach? But it's the guy who gets the call. The guy, and you could just see it in his eyes. They go, hey, what's your advice for everybody coming out to Lake Lanier for July 4th? He's like, don't come to the lake. I mean, right. And yeah. then people in the comments are like, I'm a local and I would never go out on 4th of July. It's so crowded. It's so busy. You can't predict who's around you. Mm-mm.
That's and what I mean, they've had in Memorial Day and Labor Day of any lake are the mm-hmm. most busy times. And it's also the biggest drinking times.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Wear a life jacket. Even wearing a life jacket, of course, your chances are going to be significantly higher. But wearing a life jacket and just bobbing around like a buoy and getting slammed left terrifying. And right, you could still drown. Like,
yeah.
I mean, and then you take away like the fact that you have some kind of floating device, no chance.
Mm-mm, no, and especially not knowing the depth of where you're at mm-hmm. any given point, you don't know the depth. I mean, your boats might tell you or whatever, but it's poof, not that. Take his advice. If you don't listen to us, listen to Richard Pickering. He knows better than we do.
Mm-hmm. Some locals believe the villainization of the lake may be purposeful. Business owner Steve Guello of the North Georgia Boating Club believes stories of deaths and hauntings at Lake Lanier are publicized more than incidents at other lakes in order to scare undesirable outsiders away. Considering Forsyth County's long history of racial exclusion, Guello told documentary filmmakers he believes those in political power control the narrative around Lake Lanier to instill fear in non-white visitors to keep them out.
If you're interested in more of Steve Guello's story, about 45 minutes of Surviving Lake Lanier documentary is just about how he became a boat operator and the real lived experience he has of a white man who has a diverse customer base. He said, I don't discriminate. I don't say yes or no to people or not take their money because of the color of their skin. And he says the times that he would go out with charters with predominantly black clientele, that because he would do that, he said he felt that he was not given certain opportunities or iced out of other opportunities or not allowed to do things that other business owners in the area would do. So the history of the racial exclusion, it sounds like even though the city where it was happening is now buried under the lake, it still persists.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
But the destruction caused by Lake Lanier is not limited to the lives lost on its surface or even its depths. Because the lake sits atop the Chattahoochee River, every drop pulled to quench Atlanta's thirst means less water flows downstream. That ripple effect stretches hundreds of miles south, where Florida's Apalachicola Bay, once one of the most productive oyster habitats in the U.S., has been pushed to the brink. By 2012, over 80% of the oyster population had collapsed, and Florida blamed Georgia's upstream overuse. Scientists say reduced freshwater from Lanier altered the bay's delicate balance, allowing saltwater predators to decimate the reefs. When the government was making its hasty plan for a simple reservoir in North Georgia in the 1950s, it had no idea it would tip the scales of ecological imbalance through unchecked consumption for decades to come.
And it's something I think in the 1950s, they did not have the computing ability, the research to think, oh, by damming up this river, we may destroy this entire industry or this entire species of animal or whatever. But when you know better, do better. And people have called for it to be drained or altered or the dam changed somehow. And of course, things like that cost money. But if in the end you save lives and you rehabilitate a decimated habitat for animals that are part of oyster production, I mean, it's like you're not just like, oh, save the animals, which I think that's reason enough. But it's like, and also this economy has been destroyed because somebody in another state took a longer shower. I don't know.
It is. It's fascinating how all of that can tie together and something so far away can affect something. But when you know better, do better, like you said, and if you know these things are happening, then the next step is what can we do to stop them from happening?
Mm-hmm. And the idea that we don't live in a vacuum, right? Going, if oysters die in Florida, that's not my problem. In Georgia, and it's like, yeah, certainly it is. I mean, I think there are things that we do as Texans that I'm sure we all do that affects, I don't know, our neighbors or our descendants or whatever. Some, who was it? Was like the, oh, I think it was George H.W. Bush, of all people to quote, but I saw this, a little bit of respect for the man on this one, but he was like, we're not receiving the future from our ancestors, we're borrowing it from our descendants. And I was like, damn, I like that idea of like, today is not your day. You're borrowing, right? Whatever you do today really does echo and ripple for everybody that comes after you.
Yeah.
And the idea of kind of like, well, I just want to make money now. And it's like, okay, well, then that's going to wait till 50 years from now. You have no idea what it's going to do.
Very short-sighted. From the Lady of the Lake's flowing blue dress to the echoes of long-gone church bells and the supposed tug of cold hands from the depths, Lake Lanier has earned its reputation as one of the most haunted lakes in the world. The story of how it came to exist may be the most chilling aspect of its lore. Historian Lisa Russell, author of Underwater Ghost Towns of North Georgia, told CNN in 2020,
"The real haunting in this story is how history has made it impossible to ignore what was done to the land in North Georgia. Once a land of wild rivers, North Georgia is now broken with dams and human-made bodies of water that changed the ecosystem. Once a land that belonged to indigenous people, it is now buried under the water, making recovery of lost culture impossible."
So what do we think?
Somebody on, I think it was on TikTok, was like, who does, not for us, just in general, they were like, Lake Lanier's got the best marketing team because it's like marketed as this, like you always hear about it internationally now as this, you know, haunted place, cursed place or whatever. And I'm really glad that the discourse over the past, you know, 5-10 years in social media has shifted from, ooh, a spooky ghost might pull you by your leg, to be like, why do you think there's, oh, because of the town that was decimated underneath it. That's probably why you're afraid of ghosts. So I'm glad that some of the real story of how the lake came to be and just going in with eyes wide open. I'm not, if you're like a local listening to this and going like, I'm still going to Lake Lanier, I'm all right, wear a life jacket, don't get too drunk, don't drunk drive the boat. That's pretty much all you can ask. Like, I think as long as you go into something eyes wide open, understanding this is a place that was built on pain and suffering and disrespect, and I want to go and appreciate it with respect and understanding and safety, there ain't nothing wrong with that. But it's like when you get to ignoring it, I think that's when, ironically, you know, it could be like, this lake is so cursed. It's like, yeah, because you're treating it like it doesn't matter. And that, you know, it's just another lake and it ain't just another lake. And there are reasons why it is more deadly than other lakes.
Yeah. Put some respect on it. Even if you know, have been to a million lakes, this is the only lake I know of that was made by completely decimating a thriving Black community, forcing them to leave, and then flooding it for financial gain.
Yeah. And especially understanding like there was true pain and harm in other places in America where there have been huge, painful, harmful things happen, like in Tulsa, Black Wall Street, you know, where you see this is a memorial now to that, having the place where this thing happened, where the Forsyth County ouster, you know, of 1912 happened, covered up by water, and there's no monument to it, and there's no, that there's more insult to injury on top of it. But yeah, you're right. It's like now you're further harming the descendants of the people that were already harmed in the first place. So just kind of think, recognizing it, there's nothing wrong with just saying, yes, that did happen. And it is a real thing that happened that really does have rippling after effects for literal generations to come.
Yeah. Is there any type of a museum or any landmark near the lake that would educate people about how it came to be?
Not to my knowledge currently, but I'm happy to be corrected if anybody listening knows
better.
Well,
they should have that if they don't.
They should. And it's only really been in the last few years, you know, when we were researching this, finding like, I think PBS did like a Forsyth 1912, and the Surviving Lake Lanier documentary really got down into the primary source research from that time, which would be newspapers and court documents and photographs and postcards and things like that, where the Atlanta History Center is saying, we're going to make it a point to preserve the history of what happened in Forsyth County from 1912. Because if it's my understanding that from 1912 up through the 1990s, it was all white, if not just predominantly white. And the Surviving Lake Lanier documentary does a really good job too of saying like this racial aggression of quite literally the newspaper said, good, bad, or indifferent, we are getting rid of the non-white residents up through the 60s, 70s, 80s, there's signs that says like racial purity is Forsyth County's security. Like, oof. It's not like, oh, that happened and then everybody was nice and cool. It's like there was a lot of action that we didn't even cover throughout that I think you understand how if only the white people are left, they're not really bringing up this history. Yeah. And so that's why it's also important to have, I think, a diverse array of historians that are studying a diverse array of histories and talking to the last descendants that are still around that can talk.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. I think there should be, you know, like the For Equal sure. Justice Initiative worked with the community in 2020 to put up a plaque for Rob Edwards for, so there's at least that, the placard that sort of recognizes him as a victim of lynching at the time. But insofar as being a more robust, appreciative, like what you are swimming on was once this whole town, I think it could be a really cool thing to hold. Like when you go to Big Bend and you also get to learn about, you know, the dinosaur bones, but you also get to go to a beautiful park. Mm-hmm. Like it's a lot. It's not quite as, it's a very different history as the dinosaur part of it. But I think there could be something to that. But what it requires is for people to want to face history head on. And a lot of people don't.
That's the thing. Yeah. But a museum that,
something,
you know, where these things and artifacts and stuff from descendants or even that are found under the lake and the history of it, I think would be a great thing. And is it hard to put up a museum next to where you're about to go swimming and the history is troubled and dark? Yeah, but it's what happened.
Yeah, that's true.
We can't just erase that lived experience of all of these people and the community members that are still there. So I'm sorry if it like puts a little damper on your jet skiing, but for safety purposes, as well as just historical purposes, and it's important to hold space and bear witness to the pain that all of these people suffered so you could have a fun day on the lake.
Yeah. I mean, that's the three tenets of the Zen Peacemaker Order that I follow is to bear witness and then contemplate on what you saw and then take loving action from it. And so if the idea of sitting with something that's true makes you uncomfortable, then that's the discomfort that you sit with. And then ask yourself, why do I feel that discomfort? And what am I going to do about it? Mm-hmm. That's like the three step, like that's my three step way to, dealing with things that are bigger than me, or whether it's personal, you know, on a one-to-one basis of a friend is upset, or on something that's so big, like a literal ethnic racial cleansing that happened in this area of like putting your fingers in your ears and shutting your eyes ain't going to make it go away. You know what I mean? Just sitting with it, recognizing it, and then saying, this makes me feel this. This bums me out on my jet ski. I just want to have fun on my jet ski. Well, why does it bum you out? Well, because man, people lived here. And if I could say sorry to them, I would. And I can't now, but I'm going to make sure other people know about this. Mm-hmm. And now, you know what? I'm going to call the council member and see if we can do something about this. And at least there's some recognition or some appreciation. So I think people don't want to get past that first step because sitting with the truth and bearing witness does make you uncomfortable. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of the point.
Yeah. And people don't like to be uncomfortable, but that's when true growth happens, is when you push past your comfort zone.
Ryan, I think it's diminishing to the abilities of everyone that visits Lake Lanier to go like, oh, they can't hold two truths at once. Mm-hmm. It'll freak them out and they don't want to come back. It's like, let's give everybody a little bit more credit to think they could go recognize the goat. Goddamn. And the more you recognize it now, the less likely we are to have another 1912 situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And it would also educate a lot of people more on the safety of the lake and why, true, like, these things happen is because a fucking racetrack is under the waters, yeah, with, you know, seating still there and you can't control how things go. So it would be educational in many ways.
Certainly. Yeah, I think so. Well, if there's already something out there, let us know. And if not, if you live in the area, you're the stakeholders and the shepherds of this land now. And truly, I think you have to think of yourself as that whenever all the land that we're on is stolen. But yeah. But, you know, it's like, am I using this to the best of its potential and respecting where it came from? Because I think that it makes the land a lot better used.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we can save the oysters.
You grow as a person and you every can time. Spread that and so on and so forth. Like the ripple effect of bad, the ripple effect of good is just as equal.
There you go. Like Michael Scott said, win, win, win. And we win too. So yeah, do it and enjoy. Let us know if you're going on the lake. Send us all your Lake Lanier Freaky Friday stories.
Yeah.
If you felt like a pull or seen weird lights or, I don't know, seen the Lady of the Lake. I want to know about it.
Please. Well, if you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of segments like Judge Christie, I Rule on Petty Grievances You Bring Before the Court, True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime, Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found, and we just recorded one.
Yeah, that's right.
Late night scrolling can be discussed in Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
And you gotta get on there because there's an upcoming relationship advice that we just recorded and we need your
input. I feel like everyone, it has to be required listening because it is wild.
Wild stuff. Anyway, if you want to check it out and you're not sure about making a long-term commitment for a month or even a year, we have a free trial where you can join for free for a week at any of the tiers. Check out all the perks, binge stuff, listen to the audio bonus, watch the video bonus content, watch the live Q&As. You cancel any time before the trial is over without getting charged. But if you stick around, you get a lot of stuff.
You do. You can have ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As on the third Thursday of every month, quarterly live bonus content. Voting for that is happening right now over on Patreon. Weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes. We just recorded a very interesting one yesterday.
Great
toaster hoax online. And if you don't know about it, it is wacky and wild, but also just like very informative about how things can just evolve and nobody really questions it.
It's a cautionary tale, certainly.
Yes. Merch discounts, and of course, a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Well, use that merch discount and head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show, submit topics for cases you'd like us to cover, submit your odd but true tales for Freaky Friday, and whatever bizarre or hilarious video you want us to live react to during Sunday Scaries. Our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. Don't worry, it's still totally free. You just have to put in your email. And then you also get free monthly audio content, a backlog of free stuff we've done, like movie roastings. There's a ton of content on there that's available for free members.
Hell yeah. Get on there.
You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and tickets for Crime Wave at Sea 2025. It's slowly approaching.
I with every month over.
Yes.
I'm like, we're about to go on a cruise together.
We're almost there. Yeah, November 3rd through 7th.
November 3rd through 7th. Meet us on a beautiful ship as we sail into the Bermuda Triangle for the ultimate true crime festival at sea. We're going to the Bahamas, a private island, the Bermuda Triangle, right through it. It's not just us either. True Crime Campfire is going to be there, Scared to Death. Ed and Henry from last podcast on the left. They're going to have a belly flop contest, some karaoke, some live performances. We're going to do a Q&A for the first 50 people that book. Although spots are limited, it's not something you can add on. It's just a thank you for being one of the first to book. So if you've already booked, you're going to be a part of it. And the next few people that book as well. Go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister to get your fan code and get your cabin and check our Discord page, right?
Yeah, if we have a channel in there specifically if you're looking for a cabin buddy maybe to split the cost. Also, maybe you just find your bestie. There's going to be true crime fan meetups. Like Heather said, shows of all the podcasts overlap with, you know, podcasts interacting with others. We're just going to be hanging out on the ship, too. So,
hell yeah.
Rarely do we invite just anyone to come on vacation with us. So, you're going to have a blast, as are we.
We can't wait. We cannot wait. Well, follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us on TikTok and YouTube at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the show, live streams, and more. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or you just want to hear from us, you want some advice, a pep talk, just treat yourself. Book a cameo now, from happy birthday to birth announcements to congratulations. And it's coming up on Mother's Day, graduation time, Father's Day. These are the type of gifts that are completely unique. Even if they've gotten a cameo from us before, every single one is different and unique and can be involved. The Corn Skull, McGruff, Horsehead Ladybody hasn't been requested in a while. I have a full-ass McGruff costume head to toe that I've only ever worn, I think, like for one cameo. So
for one cameo.
Yes, yes, yes.
How many times have you worn it in your personal day-to-day?
I'm just sitting back with the head on and the just fully, just, I was going to say fully nude in the trench coat, but I have clothes on under the trench coat.
It's definitely better than a robe that you could get mom for Mother's Day.
Absolutely. Go to cameo.com. And search Sinisterhood to get that delivered very quickly, as well as ordered from the comfort of wherever you're at. You don't have to go out and fight the crowds.
So. Yeah.
Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the computer at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shoutouts: Cassie Lysias,
Stephanie Schoonover,
Avery Hatch,
Rebecca of Old Married Couple,
Jamie Bruce,
Ashley Pear,
Jody Shulson,
Rochelle Hughes,
Malawini,
Marion S.,
Jamie Parsons,
Remington Finch,
and Lauren Ostrowski.
Thank you all so much for supporting our show. We could not do this without you. We sincerely appreciate each and every one of you. We hope we pronounced your names correctly. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Sinister.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.